Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, and that's the 12th hour Fox Solid Saturday Turn Congregation. Now it's at the 12th hour. Today is the June 28th, 2025, or is the fourth day of the fourth lunar month of 2029. We're starting. That's just going to be our third song on this Saturday. Our third sermon. With the song we're going to do, our song is going to be this, there's a land that is fairer than day. In other words, in the sweet by and by. Do an intro.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and the faith you can set us for. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. And the sweet and the we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And the sweet and God, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet and love, if we meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. To a bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, on that beautiful shore.
Okay, revival and reformation. This is going to be two time degrees number 31, and it says restoration. So the name of our sermon actually is restoration and the time. March 13th, 1948. Okay, it says Acts 3:19-21. Repent you therefore and be converted. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh. And he shall send Yahshua, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things. which Yahweh has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Here we are told that the heavens must receive Yahshua, not forever, but until the times of the restitution of all things. He is therefore at the time of the restitution to return unto the earth. There you have it, right there. Shall this returning be unexpected? Or shall the Yahweh first send someone to prepare his way? And if someone is to precede his coming, who will it be? And he answered and told them, Elias, that's Elijah, verily cometh first and restoreth all things. Mark 9:12. For the Yahshua, moreover, through the prophet Malachi, declared. Malachi 3:1-5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Yahshua of the host. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. Alright. Here the scriptures point out that someone in the spirit and power of the Elijah, the prophet, is first to appear and will not only prepare the way, but will also restore all things. Plainly, the message of the Elijah shall restore all things in the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, in the day of the restitution, in the day that the Yahshua comes unto his temple, the church. For the spirit of the Elijah was a spirit against idolatry. There it is, right? There's your key word right there. Against idolatry. I've confessed and repented of all my idolatry, and ask Yahweh to seal me against all idolatry, and to take anything that might resemble idolatry away from me and out of my mind. And his power was the power to destroy those who led in idolatry, who led out in idolatry, and to bring about purity. This is where we're at today, folks. Malachi 3:2-3. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of the Levi, and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahweh an offering in righteousness. At this coming, he is not to take his sins to the mansions above, but he is to purify the sons of Levi, the ministry. He is to destroy the leaders of the idolatry, since the purity of his servants is first to be restored. There's that word restored again. We're dealing with that word, restored, for the restoration, and that word also, therefore, commences in the purified church of the house of Israel, of the spiritual Israel of today, and that is Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the house of David. And that's who I represent, evangelical David, same thing as Elijah David. Thus is the Edenic state of the peace and security to be restored, where we are told that Isaiah 11:69, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahweh, as the waters cover the earth sea. So it was in the Eden, and so it must be again, if all things are to be restored, and if these prophecies are to be fulfilled. There you have it. Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of the Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and his shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And that day, that is, in the day that this Edenic peace and security are restored, then, not after, is the kingdom of the Judah and Israel to be restored. Okay. This is Ezekiel 37:16-28, and made to stand for an ensign. Now that's as high as you're going to get on this earth. That ensign is formed by the presence of Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, that has come to this earth to sit upon the throne of antitypical David, and to reign conjointly with David. Unto it shall the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles are going to seek to this throne of David, where Yahshua is with the antitypical David, for this restoration of the Judah. Now this is not only the two tribes, the lawgiver, Judah the lawgiver. It says in Genesis 49:10, for a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And that's Yahshua, that's another name for Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, until he comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Therefore it takes place in the probationary time, where the Gentiles shall seek the ensign, or they're going to seek that ensign, and an ensign is made up of two people, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, and antitypical David, which is known as antitypical Elijah. Plainly then, the Gentiles shall still be standing when the Edenic peace and security are restored. When the Edenic peace and security are restored. Right now we got the time of trouble developing. And that's a lot of wicked people all over the world are having to be dealt with. They've got a judgment day, and they're meeting their judgment day every day, and they're being destroyed by the thousands every day. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, shall be established in the top of the mountains. That's your seven mountains that surrounds Jerusalem today, that are a symbol of, and it shall be exalted above the hills, the small churches, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, and unto the house of the... Let's go up into the mountain. Let's read that again. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, and unto the house of the Yahweh of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Yahweh from the Jerusalem. Micah 3:12, 4:1-2. Sure it is that after the dispersion of the Jews and after the destruction of the old Jerusalem in the apostolic era, and a typical apostolic era, in the last days, then it is that the restoration, as that word again, restoration, of all things takes place. And the fact that many people shall then join the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for the restoration, therefore, takes place in the last prophetic parabolic hour of the probationary time, which is the 12th hour, and that's what we're in right now, in the great and dreadful day, for the ensign also shall then stand, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek, for the day is to be great for the righteous and dreadful for the sinners. Zechariah 14:4-5. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the mount of the Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the mount of the Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and ye shall flee unto the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel, yea, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of the Uzziah king of the Judah and the Yahshua, my Savior, shall come, and all the saints with thee. But who are all these saints? First, you start with 144,000. first fruits harvest out of the Adventist church. That's the first thing. And who harvests them? Yahshua, the Lamb of Yahweh, Revelation 14:1. In that day, in what day? In the day that all nations gather against the Jerusalem that now is and bring its fall from the Gentile rule, in that day the Yahshua's feet shall stand upon the Mount of the Olives. The Mount of the Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east, and toward the west there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Zechariah 14:4. For the Yahshua's post-millennial coming also shall be similar unto this. See Early Writings, page 51 and 52. Okay, it says that, for the servants of the Yahweh shall then flee to the valley of the mountains where the Yahshua's feet shall stand, and all the saints with them. That is, the Yahshua feet will open the way for the restoration of the kingdom. For the restoration of the literal restoration of a physical building, a place, and have a name of a land, headquarters, and for the gathering of the people into it. Now let's read that last paragraph again. For the servants of the Yahweh, this antitypical Elijah, David, with his helpers, but you'll find his helpers in Zechariah 3, where it says he names four helpers and he puts crowns on them. They shall then flee to the valley of the mountain where the Yahshua's feet shall stand, and all the saints with them. That is, the Yahshua's feet will open the way for the restoration of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, that you'll find mentioned there in Daniel 2:44 and 45, that the Yahweh, the Father himself, shall sit up in these last days with his Son, here in the 12th parabolic hour. Okay, and this is where we're at in this Zechariah 14 war right now. This is in the process of being prepared to be set up, and for the gathering of the people into it. Isaiah 11:14, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovery of the remnant of his people, which shall be left from the Syria and from Egypt and from Patros and from Kush and from Elam and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth, for the envy also of the Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of the Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim, that represents the 10 tribes of Israel, shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. These Philistines are your Muslims. Okay, and Moab and Ammon are the children of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. Here we see that there is to be peace in the valley of the mountains. Peace between beast and beast, and also between man and man, for the lion shall not hurt the lamb, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, and Ephraim shall not envy Judah. Judah and Ephraim are nevertheless to be in the conflict with the countries surrounding the land. This is the 12 tribes of Israel now, restored there in that valley. They're going to be in conflict, though, with those Arab nations that's surrounding the land of Israel, for they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines. The Philistines, like I said, are your Muslims. And lay a hand upon Edom and Moab, and that's those descendants of Lot, for the Ammonites shall obey them. But the Ammonites are going to obey them. Isaiah 11:15, and Yahshua shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. He's going to destroy the language. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven strings, and make men go over dry shod. Yes, Yahshua will open the way for the gathering of his people, for the exodus of the day, therefore, shall be as the exodus of yesterday, only on a greater scale. For the Yahweh's people in these last days shall be gathered from every land, not from the land of Egypt. Isaiah 11:16. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Thus shall the kingdom of the Judah and Israel be restored, and be given peace and plenty. Micah 4:4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Yahshua of the host has spoken it. And now, this is Yahweh's life, and this is his peace. Isaiah 2:5. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Yahweh. For the message of the Elijah that restores, all things is indeed an addition unto the third angel's message. The things is indeed an addition to the third angel's message, and it shall certainly swell into a loud cry. It shall gather Yahweh's people from the four corners of the earth, and bring them out of the Babylon as the earth is lightened with the glory of the angel. Revelation 18:1-4. There's your fifth angel's message right there. See early writings, page 277, which is the addition to the third angel. As the Noah's Ark preserved every living thing that was to inhabit the earth after the flood, in the like manner, the restored kingdom of the Judah, house of David, and I go and read to you in the Old Testament the covenant that Yahweh made with David for this to happen in the last days. So it says, the restored kingdom of the Judah and Israel, the 10 tribes, 2 tribes Judah, 10 tribes Ephraim, is together and preserve from the plagues every living thing that is to inhabit the new earth. The kingdom restored is to be the ark in our day, and her people shall live and reign 1,000 years with Yeshua. After they are gathered into this ark here in the 12th parabolic hour before this world comes to an end, Revelation 20 verse 4, and finally return when the earth is made new. Well, for Isaiah 65:17-18:25, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I will create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and no, let's do that again. For behold, I will create Jerusalem with the rejoicing, and her people with a joy, for the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. That's right here in this 12th parabolic hour in the last days. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and thus shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Yahweh. Obviously, those who seek to enter into this ark of the safety shall live and reign with Yeshua during the 1,000 years, and those who spurn it shall be breathless in the bottomless pit until the post-millennial resurrection, only to rise in shame and everlasting contempt, subject to suffer the second death. How important, then, that we be not napping, but that we arise and put on the wedding garment. Now, lest we find ourselves weeping and gnashing our teeth, even worse than did the antediluvians outside the ark when the rains came and the lightning and thunder blasted through the sky as the fountain of the deep had broke up. We have now seen that the restoration of all things begins with the gathering of the people unto the Judah, the lawgiver, the house of David, this everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth in the 12th hour, and that the kingdom is complete when the earth is made new. Well, the earth is going to be made new right here in these last days. It's going to become like the Garden of Eden. What does that tell you? Let us therefore do what we can to help build the ark now, and to enter into it with as many souls as possible for the inspiration. Own revelation of this church shows that we are approaching the day of the restitution of all things, that this is the message of the hour. Now, Vichy Hollop, he thought that he was the antitypical Noah. Now, finally figured out who Vichy Hollop thought he was. He wrote it right here, this last paragraph of this study, right here. Because this is the end of our study this hour, but I want to elaborate again on that last paragraph. This would be to all of us claiming to be the antitypical Noah, for he was claiming that he had this antitypical ark, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. He was claiming that that he was setting this up. And the judgment of the living, the 11th hour, he called the last hour, So he was teaching that actually he was this antitypical Noah. And everybody else, Johnny Ager, that published his rod book for him after he tells us that, he just insisted that this Hollis was the antitypical Elijah. He just insisted every way. And that's what Johnny Ager taught for 50, 60 years until he died. Richie Hollis, antitypical Elijah. No, Richie Hollis, he believed he was the antitypical Noah, that he had the antitypical ark of the safety. And that he wrote this right here. I missed this on my last study. I missed it. Okay, it says that. That, solemn thought, that's the end of this. There's a poem that's written for the end of this, but I'm not going to read that. But we got two time readings, number 31. If a man dies, how shall he live again? And what shall he be like? Let us continue our second half of our study. With two time degrees, number 32, entitled, If a Man Dies, How Shall He Live Again? And What Shall He Be Alive Again? March the 20th, 1948. For if we believe that the Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in the Yahshua bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Yahshua shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Yahshua himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the Yahshua, of the Yahweh the Father. And the dead in the Yahshua shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall remain, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yahshua. Wherefore comfort one another with these words, verse 24:14-18. Here we see that those who come up in the first resurrection shall only live again, but shall die no more. Okay. Now, to find out our answer to the question, what shall man be like if he lives again, we shall first turn to the book of the Genesis, Genesis 2:7. And Yahweh formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In this scripture, we are told that the Yahweh formed man out of the dust of the ground. Then the breath of the life was breathed into his nostrils, and thus he became a living soul. And the breath and the body together are what make the soul. For the process of the development is the same as is the process of the ice making. With the low temperature and water make ice just as the body, and the breath makes the soul. Hence, when the breath leaves the body, man no longer is a living soul, no more than the ice. The ice, after it goes back to water. For the man obviously has no existing soul after the breath leaves the body, his body. For the body and the breath together make the soul. I know, says the wise man, that whatsoever Yahweh doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And Yahweh doeth it that men should fear before him. Ecclesiastes 3:14. Ecclesiastes 9:5 and 6. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in the thing that is done under the sun. Ecclesiastes 3:18-21. I said in my heart concerning this estate of the Son of Man, that Yahweh might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go on to one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downwards to the earth? Inspiration, you see, first tells us how man was created and what he is like. Then it asks point blank, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? For the only answer that can be given is that no one knows but Yahweh. And since he has told us that the body and soul together, and not apart, makes soul, then it is plain that a dead man has no soul, that the body returns to the dust, and the breath returns to the breath, to the wind. Moreover, whatever befalls the beast, the same befalls the man. For they both have one breath, because inspiration, and the one has no preeminence above the other. This is what the Yahweh says about the soul, and we should believe him rather than fool ourselves with the uninspired theories of men who presumptuously say that the soul never dies, although Yahweh says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. Hence, when man dies, his soul vanishes as does ice when the temperature rises above freezing. Next, to find what man will look like when he is made to live again, he, the sinless life, we should see what man looked like before he sinned. Genesis 3:16. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of Yahweh walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh among the trees of the garden. Immediately after Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, a surprising change took place, for they at once perceived that the light of the life and beauty with which they had been clothed vanished away, and they saw themselves and naked, ugly, and shameful to the eye. Consequently, they tried to cover themselves with the leaves and to hide away among the trees. The leaf covering, though, was not adequate, and therefore the Yahweh made them coats of skins. What shall man be like if he lives again? Certainly not less than he would in the beginning, for all that was lost is to be restored. Neither is he to be improved upon, for everything the Yahweh made, he himself pronounced very good. Genesis 1:31. And so if a man lives again, he shall be exactly what Adam was before he sinned. Now, for the answer to the question, how shall he live again? We shall turn to Ezekiel 37:1-10. For the hand of the Yahweh was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Yahweh, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of the bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and too they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, and leave the bones there. And I answered, O Yahweh, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Yahweh. And thus saith the Yahweh unto those bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will live. Sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with the skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up on them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Yahweh, come from the four winds, O breathe and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Here we learn that the process of the resurrection is the same as the process of the creation. First the frame of the man, then the organism, the flesh, the skin, and last the breath. And again, he becomes a living soul. For the man's soul or spirit, you see, is not called down from the heaven or up from the hell. In fact, not a soul at all, but wind from the four corners of the earth fills the lungs of the command of Yahweh, and thus again becomes a living soul. Then too, the material of which man was composed originally of the same shall be made again, for bone to bone come together, when he is there recreated or resurrected, though he must retain the knowledge and memory which he had at his death. Otherwise, the man that is raised would not be the man that died. And if such be not his case, then the experience gained in this life would be lost. For the next point of the interest would be to note why there are two resurrections 1,000 years apart, Revelation 20:5-6. Let us turn to Romans 8:10-11. And if Yahshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is not because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yahshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Those who die with the spirit of the Yahshua in them are the ones who come up in the resurrection of the just. But those in whom the spirit of the Yahshua does not dwell are to come up in the resurrection of the unjust 1,000 years after the resurrection of the just. Revelation 20:6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of the Yahweh and of the Asher, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If these verses mean what they say concerning the righteous, then concerning the wicked, they actually say, cursed and unholy is he that hath no part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath power. They shall not be the priests of the Yahweh and of the Asher, and shall not reign with him during the 1,000 years. If we accept Yahweh's word as the inspiration gives it to us, and if we are doers of his word, we shall live again and be the perfect image of Yahweh as were Adam and Eve. We shall indeed return to the Garden of Eden, for the garden too shall again flourish as before, and the tree of the love shall bear its fruit every month. And so you see, man shall thus live again, and thus live forever. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new, and he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is thirst of the fountain of the water of the life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his Yahweh, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21:47. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I think as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away the childish thing. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now, by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. 1 Corinthians 13:10-13. Okay. This brings in the study of two atomic greetings, number 32, and the end of our study for this day.